this is where Texas politics gets interesting. Here again are two guys named Jason, some great guests, and cold Texas beer for another smart conversation on Y'allitics, the unofficial political podcast of Texas.
Hey, everybody. Okay, Y'allitics has been pumping out podcasts for 5-6 years now. We started in 2019. We're going to have a first today for Y'allitics. This is the first time we have ever had a prequel to the podcast with the guest who is on the podcast. So Rebecca Lopez from WFAA-TV in Dallas has come back to join us on the podcast before we even get to the podcast featuring Rebecca Lopez. And the reason that we're doing this, Rebecca, is because sometimes Y'allitics is so far ahead of the game that we're out in front of things. We recorded something a couple of days ago and we're ready to drop it. And then within those couple of days that we're ready to drop it, big new developments happen because things are starting to move.
Yes, absolutely.
So we're talking about water in Texas. And we all know that the legislature is in a special session right now. Everybody's talking about redistricting because that's the biggie that they're taking up right now. But there was just now something that it's sort of in the shadows in this special session. It wasn't on the governor's initial list of things to be discussed, but as you're learning, it's being added.
Well, so Representative Cody Harris is asking the governor to add this to the list of things that they can discuss. And so he has filed four bills dealing with this particular water issue. And the governor said, if you can go get the other House chamber to, or the Senate chamber to also sponsor some bills, then and if you've got support from both the House and the Senate, then you know we may add it to the special session. And so he's got the support of a senator out in East Texas that will also sponsor bills on the Senate side. So he feels like he's got the support to get this and push it to the governor so the governor can sign off on it.
And this has to do with water, which we know is a very critical resource anywhere in the world, but especially here in Texas, we know that we've had some real issues in some cases having enough water in some places, and we know the kinds of droughts that we go through. So the bills that he's filing here, because you start talking about controlling how much water somebody can take out of the ground, and boy, that raises some big antennas here in Texas because people are all about property rights, and that's part of your property rights. They're saying, we're not doing anything that's going to affect, you know, the regular person or a farmer or a rancher who's pumping out enough water for their crop or for their livestock. We're looking for the biggies who are really sucking water out of the ground.
Yeah, it's the rule of capture that they're going to deal with. But he's saying, look, we're not going to impact the small, the people that are going to take, you know, small amounts of water out. These are for the large capacity wells that are going to be pumping more than 25,000 gallons a day. So right now there is a developer out of Dallas that wants to pump more than 15 billion gallons a year out of one of the aquifers.
A lot of water.
He is saying we need to, we understand, you know, that he wants to do that, but it's going to devastate East Texas. And so we need to limit people that want to come in and just take the water out of these aquifers to smaller capacity wells.
And so you just got an interview with Rep. Cody Harris on this, on these bills that he's filed here in the 11th hour while we're in a special session, because they think this has to get through in this special session before this really becomes a huge problem. Let's listen to a little bit of what he had to tell you.
If we put our groundwater aquifers at risk, that can translate into risk of our surface water feeding into the reservoirs that supply the drinking water for the entire DFW region or the entire Houston area region. So this is no longer just an East Texas fight. This is a fight for all of the people of Texas.
All right, so that was Rep. Cody Harris. They're talking about the bills that he's filed.
Yes, and Jason, one of the things that he says is, look, this isn't the solution, because Texas has already passed, the legislature passed, a $20 billion, 20-year plan to deal with the water shortage and the water crisis in Texas. And some of that includes taking salt water and making it into drinking water. And he feels that there's technology there and there's other ways to deal with the water crisis, even going to other states and buying water from other states. So he says that's the solution. solution, not taking all of the water out of these aquifers and possibly leaving some of the citizens and the ranchers and the farmers in rural Texas dry.
All right, so that is the absolute latest on this story. Boy, we update things before we even run things on this podcast sometimes. So with all of that laid out, the latest update here, let's bring you in on the backstory that created all of this in the first place. It's an interesting one. And so here now is this week's podcast, again, with Rebecca Lopez.
Hey, everybody. We're back at one of our favorite places with definitely one of our favorite people this week. We've got Rebecca Lopez back with us from WFAA in Dallas. And if you're just listening and not watching right now, Rebecca just toasted. What are you having there, Rebecca?
It's something that tastes like sangria. It's a hard tea.
It's a watermelon
hibiscus hard tea. And, it is really good.
And it's kind of thick because, as we were told a moment ago, they're sort of at the bottom of the barrel right now on that one. And so you lucked out because you get a little bit more of that watermelon puree in there.
You get all the flavors in it. We're, of course, at Four Corners Brewing Company in the Cedars neighborhood of Dallas. And what are you having, Wheeler?
I am having the pregame, which is a rice beer.
With?
With lime.
With fruit, of course.
It's got lime, and he said it, you know, I think also has tangerine, so it becomes kind of more like a kumquat.
And I have the standard bearer of Four Corners, which is Local Buzz. Fantastic.
It's just good stuff.
Fantastic beer. So, we always appreciate them having us back here. And, you know, Lopez really liked her hibiscus tea there. So we'll get the truth out of Rebecca today.
Little truth serum.
Yeah, we might have to have a couple of these. I like hanging out with you guys.
So speaking of, you know, we're talking about water today, which goes into every one of these. And you just did some interesting stories, Rebecca, about a situation kind of unfolding in East Texas. You got a guy, is he from North Texas?
He's from East Texas.
He has a farm in East Texas, but he is from the Dallas area.
Okay. So he's from the Dallas area, and he's gone back over. He's bought a bunch of property in East Texas, and he's applied and received permits to drill into the aquifer and pull a bunch of water out of the ground. But that has alarmed all kinds of folks in East Texas. Walk us through this, just the basics of this story. What happened? How did this develop?
So this is a Carrizo Wilcox.
Yes, Carrizo Wilcox.
Of course, the Carrizo Wilcox.
So I got a small one
in Texas.
I got a call from a county commissioner that I had done stories with him on biosolids and PFAS, and I had met them at a meeting. A lot of big county commissioners and county judges, and he called me and said, "You've got to take a look at this issue. We're having this huge meeting before the water board." And he said, "You've got to listen in or come down here and help us out, because we think that what's happening is this very rich millionaire out of Dallas is coming in. He's bought up land, he's got permits, and he's going to just suck billions of waters of gallon out of the aquifer, and he's going to leave us high and dry. And now we're going to have our wells are going to run dry. The businesses around here need the water." And so we covered the hearing, and there were people lined up for, I mean, miles. They stood out in the hot desert sun for hours. They took testimony before the water board that's going to make the decision on whether or not to grant these, allow him to drill the water out of the aquifer.
And people come out of the woodwork to testify in these cases, and it's residents, it's business owners, big industry, that sort of thing. And the reason that they come out of the woodwork and they're willing to wait out in that hot sun for hours is because everybody needs water.
Exactly. And one of their biggest opponents against this is Sanderson Farms.
Big employer.
Have a huge chicken farm, and they're like, "Hey, you're going to put us out of business if you take this much water out of the aquifer." And then you had mom and pop people, you had residents that said that they're having to dig deeper into the ground to get water from their wells, and they've already seen the aquifer, you know, going down, and they've already seen the level. So they're like, "We're having to already pay more money in order to drill and get water for us, for our personal use."
And this is before someone else comes in and starts extracting large amounts of water to take elsewhere.
But the company says there's no plan to export any water. So why, that's what he says, I think, in your coverage. Why do locals think that he's going to So run them dry out there.
Yeah, his name is Kyle Bass. He's not related to the Bass family, and he runs a conservation equity firm, I believe is the name of his company. And he says they're just testing the science to see. He said that he read the entire water plan for the state of Texas, and he believes
cover to cover
every bit of it, and says there is no plan. The plan is you hope that there's science that comes along, or some water miraculously falls from the sky and we're going to have more water in Texas. But he says at the end of the day, there are places in Texas that are going to run out of water, which is why the governor has made this a big issue. And he said, so I'm just trying to help out the people that are not going to have water by taking water from the aquifer. So he admits that he is going to, at some point, take a lot of water out of there.
And where's it going to go, though?
We don't know, because he doesn't have to disclose that right now.
So, but every major metropolitan area needs water. DFW needs water. The Houston area needs water. We've talked about that in previous episodes. So here you have a Texas businessman who's going by the rules as they're written right now, and he's tapping into the aquifers, and they're what, half dozen aquifers across the state, I believe, and he's tapping into this one and potentially going to profit from it.
And according to, I guess, laws that were passed way back in the, you know, decades ago, you are allowed to do this if you are a property owner.
Can I speak on that?
Yeah.
And this is something that's controversial and has been for a long time, but it has been the law of the land for a very long time now. It's called the rule of capture. And basically, it says, absent malice or willful waste, a landowner. So if you own a piece of property, a landowner has the right to take all the water they can capture under their land and do with it what they please. And they will not be liable to neighboring landowners, even if in doing so they deprive their neighbors of the water's use. This is from the Texas Water Development Board, a report that they put out back in 2004. And it describes this, and you think, well, okay, this is a state agent or, you know, state entity putting this out. They acknowledge in this that the rule of capture is there's a lot of dissatisfaction with it. It has been widely criticized since it was adopted in Texas 100 years ago. That's what they said back in 2004. And they said that Texas stands alone as the only Western state that still allows this, and that, in fact, nearly all of the other states abandoned this principle a long time ago, where you can just stick down a well and suck as much water as you want to out of there and do with that, you know, do with it whatever you please.
That's correct. And what they want now is they're now calling for the governor to perhaps add this to the special session that is coming up, because they want to address this very issue and this law to see if somehow it could be changed. And they're like, look, they did not realize when they passed this 100 years ago that you were going to have all of these, like,
giant pumps.
Huge pumps and the technology.
To be able
to, like, you know, suck all of this water out and then perhaps leave some of the communities, you know, high and dry.
Interesting thing, though, is you know, Texas is, as a state, you know, depending on the subject, of course, gets really averse when you start talking about regulation. Again, it depends on the subject, though. And with water, anyway, lawmakers have been very averse to do something about that over the years. You know, you look back in the history, according to the Texas Water Development Board, the Supreme Court of Texas has ruled over and over and over again that it's the legislature's right to regulate this, and the legislature has been unwilling to really get in there and do anything about this. So you wonder, is there a will to do that? You talk about some people clamoring to have the governor put this on the special session agenda. Is there the legislative will to take this on?
That'll be an interesting, that's an interesting question. I don't know the answer to that, but I do know that this has bipartisan support. You had
to do something.
You had both Democrats and Republicans listening in, because there was then you had this initial hearing in the publicly out in Henderson County, and then you had a House committee that listened to 9 hours, almost 10 hours of testimony from people, including Kyle Bass. And but one of the biggest concerns of the lawyer for Sanderson Farms basically says that he believes that there's something more behind the scenes. And
like
he
what?
Has said this publicly, and we do know that there was a member of that initial water board that's going to make the decision that is in partnership with Kyle Bass's company to drill from the aquifers. And so
that
he stands.
Plot thickens.
Yeah, so he was removed off the water board, and now
conflict
it was immediately put in somebody else, but it wasn't really vetted. And so there's all of these like questions about what's really happening behind the scenes, and is, you know, it's a money grab and they're just trying to make money, and there's all these nefarious things happening. Kyle Bass didn't really answer those questions, but he says it's all legit. He's well within his rights. He really wants to be a good steward, he says, by being able to take water from one area and make sure that the areas that may go dry, which he said south of Waco and more in the southern areas, that they need that, you know, that's where the water may go. But again, he doesn't say where he's going to sell the
water.
And
it's important to note, though, he according to the rule of capture here, he's doing everything by the book.
Yes.
Absolutely.
It looks
like
the state just has not updated this. And, you know, Jason just went through the rule of capture. But it's important to reiterate, this means a landowner, of which he is over there, is not liable for draining a common aquifer as long as they don't do it, you know, and maliciously waste water. So you talked about the legislature, and right now the governor has not put this on the special session call. So lawmakers can't bring it up unless the governor says, hey, I want you guys to talk about this and consider this. But the Texas House Committee on Natural Resources, they met about this recently, and you mentioned bipartisan support on this. There were a number of lawmakers who were quite concerned about it. Cody Harris is a Republican who represents East Texas. State Rep Trent Ashby, another Republican, and he had a few interesting comments here. He said this is going to jeopardize jobs and livelihoods in East Texas, even though it's by the book. Here's what else he said.
I'm sitting here today not just as a committee member and a legislator, but as a lifelong resident of East Texas, someone has been blessed to raise my family on the land that has supported so many generations of Texans before. And like so many of our neighbors and fellow Texans across the state, I also understand that water isn't just a resource. It's a way of life. It sustains our farms, our economy, our families, and importantly, our future. Today, we're going to discuss one of the most alarming and aggressive groundwater production proposals in Texas history. Two entities, Redtown Ranch and Pine Bliss, both are controlled by an out-of-region private investment firm, have filed permit applications to drill 43 wells across Anderson and Henderson counties, which Chairman Harris represents. Their stated goal is to extract nearly 49,000 acre-feet of groundwater every year from the Carrizo-Wilcox and the Queen City aquifers. That's more than 15 billion gallons a year, and importantly, members, nearly 98% of the modeled sustainable groundwater production in these areas. This project isn't for the benefit of East Texans. It's not for our cities, it's not for our schools, our industries, or our landowners. Let me be clear. This project sets a dangerous precedent. The impact on water availability in Anderson and Henderson counties would be severe, with Henderson County projected to face a 5,000 acre foot annual shortfall if these projects are allowed to move forward. It threatens the long-term viability of our important agriculture and manufacturing industries, and really the basic needs, water needs, of hundreds of thousands of Texans that are blessed to call this region home. What's more, the permit applications are riddled with vague statements, missing technical analysis, and ambiguous references to, quote, beneficial use. There's no credible modeling on aquifer drawdown, no specifics on export destinations, and no plan to mitigate the damage to surrounding wells or impacted landowners. In my opinion, that is blatantly unacceptable.
So 15 billion gallons of water a year is what Trent Ashby, the state representative, says this permit that Kyle Bass filed for, you know, can extract from the ground.
That is
a lot of water.
Yeah, you know, when we start talking about these things, and people always, you know, put it in terms of like Olympic-sized swimming pools, and it's like, I still, you know, you have trouble wrapping your head around that much water. 15 billion gallons of water a year. Let me just put it to you like this. The San Antonio Express News, of course, has been following the flooding that we saw in Kerrville and along the Guadalupe River. they estimated that the amount of water that poured in from the Guadalupe River over the past several weeks because of that horrendous flooding, that huge wall of water, the amount that poured into Canyon Lake was 25 billion gallons. Mm. Wow. You think about that tremendous amount of water there.
Wow. A lot of water.
25 billion gallons. And in this particular case, they're talking about, they think that this guy wants to pull 15 billion gallons per year out of this aquifer underground.
So
that's
we
a
had
stunning
a,
amount.
We had a guy that spoke at one of the hearings, and he says, folks, it's clear what's going on. This is a grab of water. It's by a rich man who's trying to enrich himself to the detriment of all these good people here. And make no bones about it, he is made a lot of money over the years, and he basically says, you know, that he wants to help the people of Texas, but he is going to monetize this, obviously.
Well,
he's going to make a lot of money off of
this. If you don't live in this area, it's kind of easy to tune this out and just go, let him worry about that in East Texas. This is going to be something that affects every part of Texas in the decades ahead, because all of these different areas, including where we're sitting right now, DFW, are looking ahead and going, man, we got to find water supplies for these decades ahead, because we've got so many people, so much growth, we're not going to have enough. And so everybody's scrambling. And, you know, for a long time now, water has been considered the new oil. That is where the millionaires and billionaires will be made in the decades to come, because water is the necessity and everybody's got to have it, and it's in short supply in some places.
And Kyle Bass says, look, if you run out of power, you can go get power somewhere else. If you run out of water, you run out of water. That's it. There is no more water. So short of, you know, new discoveries or new technology or what have you, what is, and he asked this question, what are we supposed to do? What are you going to do? What is the state of Texas going to do? Where is our water going to come from?
And I'm sure the folks in Waco or south of Waco and DFW, all these areas that are running low on water themselves, are probably thinking, hey, this is not a bad idea if they have it over there. If you own the land and you can, you know, abide by the rule of capture here, go for it. But Kyle Bass also testified before this committee, and we're about to play a clip of what he said, but what was it kind of like there for him? Because it seems like he had a lot of enemies in that room.
Well, his attorney was there with him, and at times his attorney was like, move on. You know, you could hear him saying that. But I think that some of the House committee members got their and Democrats got their feathers ruffled a little bit, because he said, I've read the water plan. Have any of you read the water plan? I bet none of y'all have read the water plan. Well, I've read the water plan, and that's why we're here, because I've read this, and I think there's a problem, and you guys haven't addressed it.
He's saying there is no plan.
Yeah, there is no plan. And so they took issue with that and said,
which
you're
is
insulting
right.
us. You came in, and you're disrespectful to us. Of course, we know what we're doing. Work really, really hard as, you know, on committee members, and we've studied this issue, and we've been working really hard at this. So they kind of slapped him around a little bit.
Well, let's play a clip of Kyle Bass testifying before the Texas House Committee on Natural Resources. Here it is.
Why we're sitting here today is in 2020, I left Wall Street and started to think about what I wanted to do with the rest of my life, and I happened to just read the state water plan. How many people on this committee have actually read the state water plan cover to cover? I'm super interested in knowing. Has anyone?
Keep going.
So when I read it, what's interesting to me is it said the state's demographic or demographer in the report contemplates the state growing 73% in the next 50 years, 2020 to 2070. And then in the next paragraph in the state water plan, it says, and water usage is going to grow 9%. So we're going to grow 73% population. We're only going to grow 9% water usage. I said, well, I must be missing something. And I kept reading. And I read the whole thing. And I said, you know, I'm just some guy that's just come into the water world. Maybe I need to read it again. I read it again, and I called some people on the state water board, and I said, what am I missing? Like, how are we going to grow the population like that and only grow the usage 9%? And they said, well, we really hope that we're going to zero-scape yards and build less swimming pools, and that there's going to be some technological advancements that are going to help us. I said, okay, so that's the plan. That's our state's plan. So the surface water plan is not a real plan. The plan itself isn't a real plan. And so what we're doing here is we're taking, what we're trying to understand is take water where it's most plentiful and take it to the places in our state that has to have it. So when you talk about, well, we're going to take it out of East Texas. Look, I feel like I'm an East Texan. I'm going to live and die out in East Texas myself, hopefully not too soon. But I love East Texas. I love the Pine Curtain. I love our state. You as state legislators have to think about this vexing problem that we're facing today. And there is a reason the governor added water to be a strategic legislative priority this legislative session in February.
All right, so that's Kyle Bass there testifying before the Natural Resource Committee there in the Texas House. Interesting thing, Rebecca, he's talked about, you know, wanting to drill these quote unquote test wells, to which his opponents are like, these are not test wells. These are just wells.
Yeah.
It's clear when you hear him talk, though, he's got some ideas of future plans.
Oh, absolutely.
Big ones,
absolutely.
Perhaps.
And he's saying that, you look, I'm drilling the wells because we've got to follow the science on this, which is, you know, kind of interesting when you're talking about science and, you know, the Republican Party. And, you know, so he talks about that, and then he gets slapped down saying, listen, we already know what you want to do with this. You've already drilled enough to know the science. Mm-hmm. You know, you studied it, and we studied it. And we know that what you're really wanting to do is put all these wells in so you can drill all of this water out.
They're not fooling us. They can't even agree, though, on how much water this would take out. Like, you know, he's saying it's a minuscule amount of what's down there. Others are saying, nah, that's most of what's down there.
Yeah, he's saying it's just a really small percentage. But if you talk to the people down there, again, they're saying, well, we've lived in this community for, you know, ever. Well, our families are from here. We have history here. And we are having to pay a lot more money to drill to get water that we need. Right. And the people at Sanderson Farms believe that something like this is actually going to put them out of business. And, of course, you know, we get all of our chickens from there. A lot of, you know, food comes from,
sure.
You know,
it's a huge operation
down there. And they believe that this is going to hurt business. And again, they are actually asking for an investigation into how this all came about, including with the water board, with the communication between the water board member and him. They're wanting an investigation into this by the attorney general as well.
So tell us where this stands right now. One of your earlier reports said the Natchez and Trinity Valley's groundwater conservation districts would decide this issue. He owns the land, the two chunks of land, and he has the permits, I believe. He's applied for these permits.
Well, I think
does it stand now?
And I think that that's some of the question, because the permits, I believe it's the standing of the permits. Like right now, he has the ability to sort of test it out, but he doesn't have the permission to actually drill the water out right now. And that's where the water board's going to have to decide.
And then what about the local conservation district? Are they going to have a say in this at all?
Yeah, that's the question, you know, that's why they want this special session to find out, you know, who is going to be able to do what and where does everybody stand legally.
But what happens if the governor doesn't put this on the special session call? Does everything stay on pause or what?
Well, it depends on this particular water board and whether or not they're going to be able to, you know, they can deny the permits, I believe.
I'm intrigued, though, by the fact that, you know, we talked about earlier how over the years this has been a controversial rule that you can, you know, suck as much water out of the ground as you want to on your property. You know, and it doesn't matter what people around you think, and how the Supreme Court over and over, the Supreme Court of Texas has said that, the legislature can do something about that, and they just haven't. But in this case, I mean, are we finally possibly to a tipping point here? Because when the Natural Resources Committee had this hearing, this monster hearing that went forever, members of both chambers were there. Mm-hmm. So you had senators there as well,
yes,
presumably. And there were also non-committee members showing
up.
So that tells you that, I mean, you know, these people don't just go to long meetings. I mean, they sit through enough long meetings,
sure,
as it is. They don't just go to long meetings for the fun of it. This is drawing a lot of interest on both sides of the aisle here in Texas, and I think that they see the fights that are coming. This might just be the harbinger of what's to come.
Yeah, and I do think that the governor, since he has made it a priority, I feel like he's going to want to listen. These are his constituents in these very rural areas of Texas.
Deep red. These
are his voters.
That is deep red.
These are the people, and they want to be heard. They want to be heard on this. They want to be heard on the biosolids. They want to be heard on the fracking water. These ranchers and farmers and people that live in these rural communities that are deep, deep red counties, they want the governor to hear them, and they want the governor to listen to them, and they are the ones that are voting. They are the big voting block for the Republican Party in Texas, as you know. So what does he do? Does he ignore them or does he listen to them?
He has so far with PFAS, with the forever chemicals, that you've done so much you know, reporting on, and on this. I mean, he's not, I don't want to say taking the bait, but he's not responding to it, is he?
At this point, no. I mean, in fact, the PFAS bill never even got out of committee. They never even voted on, which is really...
It was
ranchers in Johnson County, and they felt very much left behind. But I feel like this issue, again, the governor didn't have biosolids as one of his top issues. He's got water as one of his top issues, and he has said that. So when you're hearing from the people in these rural communities, and you've already said, we need to do something, I think that he's going to have to listen to them. Mm-hmm. At least that's what they're hoping.
Yeah. What's next with this, Rebecca?
Well, there's going to be more hearings. Again, they're going to push for this special session where they can at least have some of their concerns heard. Yeah. And then it will eventually, I think, be up to this water board to determine exactly what they're going to allow him to do with the water.
Meantime, you know, Kyle Bass has been saying, you know, hasn't he, that, you know, guys, y'all are, you know, screaming that the sky is falling, that, you know, I'm draining the earth dry if I get these permits. I'm not going to do that to this place because this is my home. This is, mm-hmm. My family's from here.
Yeah. And he says that, and they're like, yeah, we hear you. You can call yourself an East Texan. You can say you're an East Texan, but at the end of the day, you're a money guy and you want to make money off this. And so they're not buying his argument that, hey, I'm one of you and I'm just coming in here because I want to save Texas. And I'm also not going to hurt you. They're not buying that. They see what's happening with the water crisis. They see their wells going dry. They see the lakes, you know, in this drought that we've had, and they see what's happening with water in Texas, and they're not buying his argument about I'm one of you and I'm not here to hurt you.
But there's nothing to stop any other entrepreneur right now in the state from going to any of these aquifers.
Nope.
The Ogallala Aquifer up in the Panhandle, which is, I think, the largest in the country.
The Edwards Aquifer is huge, or
anywhere else.
No,
nothing to stop an entrepreneur from doing this and selling it to the city of Dallas, selling it to the city of Fort Worth,
selling Houston, it to Arkansas,
anybody.
Well, you know,
selling it to Louisiana, you can sell it anywhere.
Yeah, that's the biggest concern. Is like if he was more, they're asking him, if you were more transparent, tell us what you really want to do with this water. Who are you going to sell it to? Is it going to San Antonio, Austin, Houston, Midland, Texas? They don't know. Like, we just feel like there's not enough transparency. Mm-hmm. And again, because you had somebody on the water board that's working with you that is going to make money off of the drilling, then that just brings up a lot of concern for the people there that feel like the process hasn't been transparent and there's more going on, and that they don't have the people in those rural communities' best interest at heart.
But the way the laws are written, he doesn't have to do any of that.
Right.
So this is a matter of the laws catching up to the times, I guess, right?
Absolutely.
I'm really curious to see if this law finally gets a tweak. I mean, it's been around for more than 100 years here in Texas. So many of these other states have abandoned it, especially states in the West. And, you know, even the Water Development Board here in Texas says that this, you know, this rule of capture that we have here, where you can just take as much as you want, is in contrast to what's considered reasonable use rules or the American rule. So we're sort of an outlier with this. We're our own entity in still allowing people to just, hey, put that well into your land and you just, you know, get a straw and just pull as much as you want out of there.
Yeah, and that's what the county commissioner is saying. Like, it's time. It's time that we change the law. It's time that Texas take a deeper look at this and do something, because, you know, they feel like at the end of the day, they're going to be left behind. Mm. Just like the biosolids people in Johnson County are feeling. They feel disenfranchised right now, and they're angry. But if you heard the comments at these meetings and these hearings, literally where people stood in line for, again, hours to be heard, they are angry. They are angry. They feel like no one is listening to them, and they've threatened, like, we will come and vote you out of office if you do not listen to us. We are going to push to have you guys removed if you're not listening to our concerns. And I feel like I don't know. I mean, right now, obviously, nothing is happening. So I don't know. Are they concerned about their voting base out in the rural communities, and are they listening to them? Because it appears right now that they're not.
Yeah, I wonder if they believe that water is the issue that people will actually walk into the ballot box and have on their minds the next time they vote. Is water going to be powerful enough to climb above all of those other things that make people vote the way they do every single time around? And if you know, if you're one of these Democrats who's been eyeing office here in Texas and has been, you know, felt locked out of these, you know, really red places, you know, how do you go and make water sexy, number one, and number two, go to communities and, you know, try to dip your toe in and see if maybe you can switch some voters or at least put pressure on the other party to go, hey, we're in power and we're going to do something about this.
And I want to say that the counties that are included also are like huge cattle ranchers as well. They provide a lot of beef and steaks and food for
stuff that all of us eat.
Yeah, the way you get the attention is not with these ranchers, unfortunately. And it's sad to say, but it's not getting the governor's attention. The way you get their attention is when Sanderson Farms closes up, or when, you know, a company doesn't have enough water here and they're going to Oklahoma instead because they know there'll be water up there. Was it TI talking about expanding here and they went to Oklahoma instead? That's when you get the governor's attention. Has Sanderson Farms threatened anything like that, or are they just saying that jobs and livelihoods could be at risk?
They're just saying our jobs and livelihoods are at risk. And I think in one of the hearings, the attorney does say, we may have to be forced to look elsewhere if we, and there's a lot of jobs that we provide, but we need the water. We have to have the water or we cannot continue to function and operate our this large scale business that we have that employs a lot of people. And the cattle ranchers are saying the same thing. We cannot, we need this for our cattle. We need this to put food on the table of Texans. We, all the businesses out there say, if this continues and we lose this water, we're going to, these businesses are going to fail.
Yeah. And as I alluded to a moment ago, you know, water is not a sexy topic,
no.
But you know, when you start putting it down into those terms there, I mean, it's easy to tune out what's happening in some other parts of this state, but that stuff's ending up on your plate, you know, whether it's beef, chicken, in this case, poultry, vegetables, fruits, all of it requires water. And we have to have you on again soon to talk about you touched on fracking water and all that. That's a whole nother separate issue.
That's a whole nother issue,
But there's a lot going on.
But the governor did listen to the guys on that, and the bill did get passed.
There's a lot going on, though, water-wise, and prediction here. You're going to hear a lot more about these, and this kind of water fight is just beginning. I'd say my last thing is this. It's a little bit of trivia for you. So there's an irony here, too. And I guess you have to be extra careful when you're in a place like this. So this all started there at Jacksonville, which is in, you know, deep, you know, I would call it northeast Texas, but it's east Texas. And these are the Piney Woods. You know, everybody's heard of that. This is actually the area that receives the highest average rainfall in the state. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
I would have guessed the Houston area, maybe Beaumont.
Me too. I would have guessed Houston.
Highest average rainfall in the state. But you know,
what journal did you get that from?
I got that from the Texas Parks and Wildlife. I can cite that. And so, you know, but they're anticipating more needs by manufacturers there. You know, so many parts of Texas are growing, you know.
They want jobs.
You'll have people coming in, jobs happening. You've got cities that are short of water, like, you know, it's not that far away from Dallas, Fort Worth, and maybe, you know, we eye that. And so even in the place that gets the most rainfall in Texas, you've got a battle over water. And this is the underground stuff. And people saying already that they're having to drill down lower to get water in the place that gets the most rainfall in Texas. So imagine how this is coming to the rest of Texas.
Exactly.
What other stories do you have lined up on this? Anything else in the hopper on this issue right now?
There are going to be some more hearings. And I'm also
by the state or by the local folks?
By the local folks. Okay. And I'm also hoping to and if he's listening, I'd really love to interview Kyle Bass one-on-one. I'd like to hear, you know, his thoughts on the concerns of the people, because again, he was somewhat limited of what he could say in this hearing. But I'd really like to hear his perspective of why he feels that something like this needs to be done. And if you're looking at it from, like, you're right, the big metropolitan areas, you know, if you're going to take water from somewhere
there's
a market. And if you're taking, like he's saying, look, they don't need that much water down there. These places need it because they're going to go dry. They are going to run out of water. So what he claims, that, you know, he's trying to help people. I really, really want to hear his whole spiel on this.
Kyle, if you're listening, and of course you're a Yalitics listener.
Why wouldn't he be listening?
Yes,
viewer.
Exactly.
Why wouldn't he be listening?
come tell your story, Kyle.
But just to reiterate, there is no suggestion that he's done anything wrong.
Right.
He's following the law.
He is.
It's an old law. He's following the law, and he said he's read the water plan.
Yeah.
And he's... You know,
and he sees a lack of a plan. And,
yeah.
Well,
he's kind of filling in some blanks.
He sees opportunity there, and if he's following the law for it, you know, good for him as far as an entrepreneur goes. But it seems like everyone else is finally catching up to the law needing to be updated here.
Yeah, absolutely.
Rebecca Lopez is the hardest working person I know.
She is. Arlo
always
is
on.
Amazing.
Always on.
And
the best source reporter I know, too.
Unbelievable. And that's why people call her. They keep calling her. I mean, you usually do like crime investigations,
crime and
justice.
Other, yeah.
And yet, you know, you got these ranchers out in nowhere land, Texas, calling you and saying, what you really need to be covering is this.
Yes.
It's about water, blah, 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 blah. So you're the water beat now as well. And honestly, we do need to have you on to talk about the fracking stuff. It's fascinating.
The fracking
fascinating,
water.
Yeah.
And she covers the Dallas Cowboys.
Yes. And you're going to tune in to the Cowboy Call-In Show every Monday after every Cowboy game at 11:30.
So
tune in, because this is our year.
Rebecca and I have been death mates for 17 years now. Is this our year, Lopez? Is this
our
the year?
This is the year.
Really?
Super Bowl
this
year?
Again?
Super
this
Bowl
is going
to
be it again?
This is it.
That's the tease.
Okay.
Every
new
time.
Coach,
I'm like, yeah.
New life.
How many coaches have we had
Cowboys.
In 17 years?
Oh, gosh, I don't know.
So, Jerry Jones, if you're listening or watching, and of course you are, come on with us. Let's confirm this. Is this our year, finally?
Oh, geez. Lopez, thank you so much. Always appreciate the insight and great work on this. These stories are fantastic.
Thanks.
Arlo, you're amazing. I don't know when and where you sleep, but you're amazing. Good work.
Thanks.